Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, prepare our hearts. We love you. Prepare our hearts for the truth of the word so that we grow, so that we mature in our faith. And Lord, for anyone here who doesn't know you yet, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts and minds right now during this time together in your word, Lord, that they would see your love and your goodness in a new way. Lord, bless all of us. Cover this time and use it for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been going through the book of James, and it's been a bit challenging. One of the biggest challenging parts of the book of James is it right where we live. It speaks to us in ways that it kind of takes all the Christianese out of it, and it just puts it in real life right where we're at. And we continue with that in James 4, verses 1 through 12, and I titled it, The Cure for Conflict. The Cure for Conflict. And it starts off in James 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. That whole idea of what causes these fights and quarrels among us, don't they come from our desires? The idea there is the desires can be translated living for pleasures. Don't they come from our desire to live for pleasure, for the things of this world? And that's battling within us. And then it says, You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. And the word there is really hyperbole for hate. You hate as a result. There's this hate that grows within us. So what the question is, what causes conflicts? What causes wars? What causes these things in our minds and hearts and in our lives, in our world? We are at war with ourselves. Guys, the first place that it strikes is from within. And because we're desiring things that are of this world, we want what we don't have, we desire more, and so there's something that's driving us for the pleasures of this world. The war in our heart is helping to cause the wars in our community, in our families, in our world. It starts within. What happens, guys, when we don't exercise our faith, when we don't grow in our faith in this area? First, wars and fights break out. Wars with individuals, fights with loved ones. And it's a cause of a direct, what does it say at the end of that verse? It's a cause, the direct cause is a lack of prayer. It says, you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. It's not saying you don't get what you want because you don't ask God. It's saying that we're in the wrong place with each other. Why? Because we're not in prayer. We're not speaking to God. And so our hearts are far from him because we're wanting the things of the world because we're not intimate in communication with God. And so the desire is not for the things of this world, but for intimacy with God, for that closeness, for that reliance on God. Prayer is the most perfect expression of faith. Prayer is the most perfect expression of faith because prayer is the manifestation of our dependence upon God. We're struck with the gospel from the Word of God, with His truth. We come to faith and we communicate and grow in that place of prayer. How close can you be with somebody that you don't talk with ever? Now, I've got good friends that are from my childhood that I see about 2-3 times a year. We're still really good friends and we always pick up where we left off. But there's a lack in the depth of how much we can grow in the future just because of time's sake, right? When you're in different states, it's a challenge. And so what do you have to do? You have to make an effort. You have to be intentional. And you have to really work at it. Some of my friends that are far away, I'm so close now. And we're still extremely close. And we're still far away. But we're intentional. And there's that communication, that love for calling up, for talking, for hearing from them. Those of you, anybody ever get a letter from a loved one when you were dating or when you were young? Anybody ever have that happen? Do you remember what you did with it? Now, for those of us who are older, this was a common practice. A letter is something you put right on a piece of paper. You put a stamp on an envelope and you put it in a box. It's really weird, I know. And then that piece of paper goes very slowly and it gets to the person and they open up this envelope and out pops the paper and they read it. And so for those of us who are a little bit older, who have a little gray or white going, we remember those days, right? And you read it and remember reading that letter and the excitement. And when you got the letter, you would read it and reread it. And then you'd like, you know, at least for me, I'd go to my mom and I'd say, well, she said this. What do you think she means by that? I remember when I got a letter from Julie and she was away in Uganda and it was before we were married. I remember reading it and reading it and reading it, man, the joy, and asking my mom, what do you think? What do you think she means by that? You start reading in between the lines, don't you? You're hungry to know more. Man, when we're in prayer, there's that craving, that pleasure, not in the things of this world, but that pleasure in communicating with God, that in-depth moment of man, you know when you have those aha moments because you just got to know God a little bit more and you got to see his goodness a little bit more, and there's that pleasure and joy. James, he traces the entire subject of wars and fights and quarrels to a lack of prayer, a lack of intimacy with God. What's the result of not praying? We become selfish. We become selfish in focusing on our own desires. We start living for our pleasures rather than living for God. It continues on. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Guys, what's the consequence? What's the consequence of conflict? What's the consequence of it? It's that we are at war, not just with each other, but with God. When we allow that disunity to take place, when we allow our focus to become of this world, we are adulterous people. We're at war with God through spiritual unfaithfulness. Now, guys, this is a word that I want us to spend a little bit of time on, spiritual unfaithfulness. To be unfaithful is a big thing, isn't it? It's a big thing. It destroys lives. It causes such pain in families, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. And it is so destructive, unfaithfulness. Well, when we are spiritually unfaithful, do you think there's any less or maybe even more consequences to that? When we are desiring the things of this world, it's not just a little thing. And I think we tend to think of it like that. I think we tend to think of it as, oh, that's just how things are. And we almost give it an excuse. But spiritual unfaithfulness is a big thing. God does not want to give up being our first love. He does not take that. God wants to be your first love. And there's an intimacy, there's a pleasure, there's a joy that comes with that. But the love of the world will come and take hold of our minds and hearts if we allow it. And guys, it can happen so quick. It's just such a big thing. It's He's saying, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Hatred towards God. It says in Matthew and Luke, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. I don't want my heart and mind to be defined by things that push me into a mindset of being an enemy of God. So we've got to take spiritual unfaithfulness very, very seriously. And those who are spiritually unfaithful love the world rather than God. And we've got to be careful with that because it can sneak in. Goes on, or do you think that Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Man. Another consequence of not exercising our faith, of not growing and maturing in these areas is the consequence is pride. Pride. Pride comes in. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, right? So pride is a pretty big thing because we know that, where did pride start? With Satan. With the enemy of God. And so pride is a really big thing. And so when we are proud, it has a great effect on God. And it says that he's jealous. He jealously longs for the Spirit that he has caused to indwell in us. When we come to faith, God comes in us through Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. It says now Christ is in us. And so when we have the sins of the flesh and of pride that are in us, God is jealous. He has this jealous, perfect, jealous love for us. And he wants what's best for us, like a father wants best what's best for his children. And he doesn't give up ground lightly. So what's the cure for conflict, it says here? Humility. Humility. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Because of the fall of man, man's spirit envies intensely. We desire things intensely that are not of the Lord. And guys, we can be the poorest one on the block and be consumed with the things of this world. We covet, we desire what others have. There's something in us that's driving for more. It has no financial areas. It hits all of us. And so I want to encourage you. How do we grow in humility? And that's one of the things that we're going to really be looking at today. The Holy Spirit jealously desires our full devotion and faithfulness. And he wants us to grow in those areas for our own good and for his glory to be seen. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Guys, let's stop right there. Notice the order that it's in here. Submit yourselves then, because of these things, because of how we're prone to be focused on being spiritually unfaithful, we then need to submit ourselves to God. In humility, put ourselves under the lordship of Christ. It's a decision. It requires action on our part. Guys, it doesn't happen naturally. I desire to serve me naturally. That's super easy. It is so easy for me to just say, serve me. I remember my mom spoiled me. Bless her heart. But my mom spoiled me, and she would. I was her baby. I was the youngest of three boys, and so I got some little extra love shown. And when I got married, and all of a sudden I had to do all those things that were done for me on my own. And I remember the first time Julie said to me, "Do you have two broken legs?" I was like, man, we like it the way we want to be spoiled. We want to have it our way. We want to be served. And we even come to God and in our spiritual brokenness, we want God to serve us rather than us serving God. We get it backwards. And so our prayers become, do this for me. Not, God, what is it you have for me? I'm laying down my will. I'm choosing to give it up. I'm going to put it at your feet. What do you want from me? Because I'm willing to go where you call. I'm willing to do what you ask. And so, God, I ask that you would share with me what that is. Because that's maturity. That's growth. Because it's a place of coming to understand who's in charge, who's in authority. And in humility, worshiping God rather than God, asking God to serve me. It's a bit of a different thing. Submit yourselves. Come under God's... And then what does it say? Then, as we're under the authority of God, guess what? Now, resist the devil. If we get that flipped and we try to resist the devil before we come under the authority of Christ, we're going to get slammed, slaughtered. We can't resist the devil in the flesh. The spiritual world is greater than the physical world. The enemy of God is greater than me, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so as I submit myself to God, now I have the power and authority, his power, to do what? To resist the devil. Because you know what is so frustrating about the demonic forces of this world and the devil and the demonic forces? They know their stuff. You know, the devil's not an idiot. He's not wise, but he's a great observer. He's scheming, he's plotting, he's knowing what works against us. And he takes pleasure in saying, okay, this didn't work, so in the past I've done this. We must first submit, and only then are we able to effectively resist Satan's power with God's power and authority in our lives. It's huge, guys. So yesterday, the guys had a great men's breakfast, and afterwards we moved a shed over to Jim's place. And you know what's great when you get a big group of men together to do a chore? Is we all have an idea of how it goes. And so there we are, all these guys moving this shed, there was twice where Jim made a suggestion, but my idea was better than his until it started working itself out. And so all of a sudden I was in the back of the truck, and I kind of, at one point I was like, well, no, we should do this, and some other things were, and Jim said, well, what about this? And I was like, well, why don't we do this? And guess what? I was wrong. And so we had, now what do we do? Now how do we get the rest of this stuff in here? And it was kind of funny because I wasn't the only one, you know, right? It was like, man, we had a lot of people with a lot of opinions on how to move a shed. It was really, we had a great time. It was really fun. But the reason it was fun, because in the midst of our brokenness, we still had grace for each other. We still had grace for each other. And so Jim was able to handle my times where I was a little set on my way. But we all have that in us of there's that desire to have it our way. But man, when we experience that grace in the process, it heals the challenges that we face. Because Christ is working through that as we submit ourselves, as we see God, as we forgive, as we love, God blesses. And guys, I'm glad to say Jim sent me a picture. The shed is up and finished, right? Yeah, that thing was a beast too. It was heavy. Whew. But we got it done. As we're willing, there's that whole idea. As we're willing to come back here, it says in verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. Think about that. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. A little grumpy goose there, isn't it? What's that talking about? Well, man, come near to God. And when we come near to God and he comes near to us, what are we reminded of? Of our double-mindedness. We are so easily led astray in it. When he comes near to us, you know what? My sin means something to me. Because I know that it directly affects my God. One of the greatest problems, I think, with people and even people in the church today, even Christians, is that our sin doesn't bother us that much. We're pretty much okay with sin. And we can kind of make that excuse of this, that's just how we are. Yes, that's how we are outside of the will of God, the work of God, the power of God, the strength, the authority of Christ in our lives. Of course we're that way. But we're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And so therefore, now where do we stand? Now there's a different thing that we live. There's a different way that we approach life. And so when we sin, what happens? Man, we feel the weight of it. We weep and wail. We're broken before God. And you know what? Praise God for that. Because that's God in himself in us. And we're trying to bring sin in. It doesn't work. And so there's our conscience is stirred. And there's, man, I let God down again. I went in my own strength here. And there needs to be that humbling, that asking God to take over again. I love that it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Guys, as we're willing to come back to draw near to God, he won't just wait for us. I love the fact that he's the hound of heaven, that he pursues us before faith. He pursues us in faith. He comes to us. Just like the prodigal son, when the son goes away, he doesn't stop being the son. But he asks his dad, give me everything you got. I want my whole inheritance now. And he blows it on wild living. And he has nothing left. And all the friends that were there when he had the cash are gone. And he finds himself as a poor Jewish boy eating pig slop when Jewish boys don't do anything near pigs because pigs are unclean. And here he's eating pig food. And he comes to his senses and he says, I want to draw near to my father. I want to go home. If I can just go home and be a servant, there's that humility. Just be a servant, not even a son. I don't deserve to be the son. I just want to go home. And as he gets towards home, his father has been waiting for him, looking, sees him and goes running to him. And meets him and puts the sandals on his feet, the ring on his finger, and says, let's have a party. My son's home. He draws near to us as we draw near to him. He doesn't wait for us. He pursues us. That's a loving father, guys. And that's a powerful message that he loves us so much. Think of you if you had a son or a daughter, a child that went away. And they were broken. Absolutely broken. And they come to their senses and I just want to come home. As our streets are filled with many, there's many different neat ministries that work with young women who are on the street. And I've read story after story after story of through these ministries of these girls. Finally, through a ministry reaching out, get to a place where they get rescued out of prostitution and all kinds of things that they've gotten into and drugs. And through the ministry, they get an opportunity and many of them eventually call home. And there's no greater joy for the parent. The child is, will I be received? And the parent is, of course you are coming home. You belong here. You belong here. We have a God who pursues us. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We don't have to lift up ourselves. He's going to lift us up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. What's another consequence of not exercising our faith? Slander from a critical spirit. We start, there's this critical spirit that brews in us. Often comes with unforgiveness, doesn't it? And we get more and more critical towards this person or this situation. And we start speaking ill against that person. And we get comfortable with speaking ill. And we get comfortable with bringing people on our side of the argument against that person. Now that person is the enemy. And that's a problem. Justice is found in Christ and not in man. Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says this, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged." Ouch. So if we have a critical spirit and a judgmental heart towards people, that's going to come back to us, isn't it? "And with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust?" I love this picture. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to a brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So this is the picture that it gives. Jason, I want to talk to you. You know, there's an area of your life that is, it's really a mess. And I see this speck in your eye, and I really want to help you through it. So, you know, if you don't get this figured out, I'm going to make your world a living hurt. But if you are contrite enough and realize who I am, I'll help you get that speck out of your eye. The picture is a little foolish. That gets kind of heavy. The picture is a little foolish when you've got this giant... See, now it is. It's there. Well, at least it's not a plank. Oh, my goodness. It's hard to see, let alone deal with, the speck in our brother's eye when what's in ours. I mean, what a silly... I mean, do you see the humor behind it? I love the humor of the Word of God. I love the pictures. And sometimes, man, sometimes it just really causes you to kind of laugh out loud and say, "I'm the one with the plank." And praise God if we get to the place where we say, "I'm the one with the plank." Because that means we're humbling ourselves before God. We're asking for forgiveness. And you know what happens when we humble ourselves before God? The critical spirit that can... Guys, it takes... A speck can become a plank so quick. The foothold can become the stronghold like that. Because once we start justifying ourselves with the speck, the plank is born. And man, when you're moving around and you're in a crowd of people and you're moving with the plank, you can do a lot of damage. Those of you who are sitting in the back row are really happy right now, aren't you? Those of you who are sitting in the front are saying, "Next week, we're moving back, baby." Yeah. Man, we can do so much damage so quick. The plank, it causes such trouble and becomes the stick for beating and for judging. And I tell you, you get people who are religious with a judgmental, critical spirit, we're a force to be reckoned with for evil. A force to be reckoned with for evil. And that's the last thing people in the church want to be. You know what the number one reason I hear for people who are outside of faith not wanting to come to church? Number one reason? I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be judged. If I go there, I'm just going to be ripped apart. That's the lie. The truth is, if they come and we're honoring God, they'll be welcomed in. And guys, how often during our class for new members, you know what I hear over and over of why people go from coming to becoming members? Is because they feel supported and loved. They feel encouraged. They feel like people care. You guys live out that ministry over and over and over. I can't tell you how much it's meant to me and my family, the way you guys have reached out and loved us. Been there for us. Just time after time after time. The good news is we have the advantage of justice that comes from the Lord. We have that advantage because we don't have to be the ones to bring the justice. Think of how much peace that brings us. Justice is not our role. Justice is God's role. God is the only one who can bring real justice and peace. And so we need to walk in His ways and His truth. Then it finishes with this. There is only one lawgiver and judge, but the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? See, we have forgotten that we are to sit under the judgment of the Word of God. We are not the Word of God. We are not the ones who judge others. Do we stand for truth and love? Absolutely. Do you understand the difference of standing for truth and love and having a judgmental, critical spirit? One is based on the flesh, of puffing up me, that I'm the one that has to be answered to. Do you know who I am? And one is in humility. We represent our Father. We represent the true judge. We've got nothing in of ourselves. But we get to point to the one who does have the power and the answers and the love to deal with it in our lives, in their lives. And so it brings a humility as we walk together. One is, I'm going to judge you and I'm going to rip you down. I'm going to tear you apart. And I'm going to do it feeling good about myself and building myself up because I'm better than you. The religious, away from faith mentality. And the other is, we're two peas in a pie. We're both broken before God. How do we walk with each other? You've shared these challenges that you're going through. How can I help you? How can I walk with you through this? And here's where I need help. And now we're coming alongside of each other, ministering to each other as we move forward. Now God is blessing both of us through our friendship. And it's a beautiful thing. The person who criticizes another has put themselves above the Word of God. And they're saying, I'm the judge. No, Jesus, Christ is the judge. It's not my place. I get to stand for truth and love. I get to bring that forward in a way that you can connect with in humility. Because I have no answers of myself. Everything I bring is the truth of the Word of God coming in. That's all I have to give that's worthy of anything. Jesus is the author of justice. He's the author of justice. And so, guys, we can trust Him. And when He speaks to us about how to walk with our brother or sister, then we move forward in that lovingly, in humility, because it's really easy for pride to get in the way, isn't it? It's real easy to start shaking our planks around and starting doing some damage. You can do a lot of damage with one of these to a brother or sister. You know, the plank, it's easy to see it becomes a weapon, isn't it? Spiritually, relationally, even a bigger weapon. This is not what we were called to. We're called to lay it down. In humility, experience the blessing of being transformed by Christ, and then in relationship with God, walking in relationship with others, and humbly moving forward in His power and strength. And guys, I want to end with this. There is absolutely no reason that we should expect people who don't know Jesus to live as though they do. Now, are some people who don't know Jesus really good people? Absolutely. But we can't expect people to live out biblical truths if they don't know Jesus personally. And as people are on the journey of faith and they start hearing more truth, they start growing in that concern for others and that love for others. Faith is a journey, isn't it? It's not the destination. It's a journey. And so now there's that growth and a desire to serve and love others better and more. And now that's who Christ is. It makes sense. He died on the cross out of love for me and for us all. And He wants us to know Him. And so I can receive that love. And guess what happens when we come into faith in Christ? All those wounds that have caused all that bitterness have a place to go. Now we have an opportunity to be healed, and piece by piece, we start taking those pieces of broken lives, bringing them before the Lord. This is the sanctification, and God deals with that area, and we realize the lies of the enemy, it's not truth. Now we replace the lie with truth, and there's a peace and a joy which surpasses all understanding. And now, man, here we go. Whew. Praise God, it's not about us. Because things actually change, real change, life transformation. And we get to be a part of it. We get to bless others by being ambassadors and leading others to the one who transforms lives. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much that you love us so much that you will not let us stay where we're at. That you draw near to us as we draw near to you. Lord, I just pray for humility to grow in this wonderful church family, Lord. Thank you for the growth that is so evident time after time after time. Lord, where we have seen it lived out. Lord, what a testimony that is to each other. And Lord, we desire to grow more and more in this area, that we would die more to self, take up our cross daily and follow you. Lord, that we would see you do amazing things, that your love would be seen by new people, by people who don't see your love right now. And Lord, that we wouldn't get in the way, but you would use us, that we would first do what? Right where we started, turn to you in prayer and seek your will for the lives of the people around us in humility. Sharing the love, being ambassadors, as you build up and you bring truth into the people's lives, Lord, minds and hearts. Lord, show us how to get out of the way. Show us how to love others well with your love. Show us how to speak into the lives of other people in a way that blesses and builds the whole body up and doesn't tear down. Lord, thank you that you've provided a way for us to do that. And it's through you, through your strength and power and love and authority. Lord, forgive us for trying to get on the throne and scooch you off. Lord, we don't belong there. You do. We worship you. We serve you. We love you back. Make us a blessing to many. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.